Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I know He's moving. He is moving. He has so much to say to His people and He loves us so much. The Lord has to return, folks. He has to return to keep order. See, that God has an order. Everything He did in the Restoration Week, He's doing in our Covenant Week. The covenant week is the week. 1,000 years is one day to the Lord. I want to explain that and I have a broadcast about it on newlivingletters.com. Now the broadcast about our covenant week is on audio page 6. I suggest that you check it out. It's 5 broadcasts because the teaching took 5. It took 4.5 hours to do it. And it may be more than what you're used to. Some of you scholars may understand it, but this is something the Lord gave me. And I was in a band years ago, but we meet and have a Bible study every, usually the first Sunday of the month. And they had some creation questions, so God gave me this outline, and I did it. I recorded it, but because personal things were said, I didn't want to use it on the, you know, on my website. So I said, Lord, I would love to do a broadcast about the creation and use the same notes I used for the band. I said, well, whenever you're ready, I'll do it. And he said, you know, about a week or so went by, and he said, go ahead and do that broadcast with those notes. I said, Lord, is this you or me? He said, I need it. I said, okay, I'm going to do it. So this was last year. It's on audio page 6. You have to scroll the page down, and you'll see our covenant week, and there's 5 broadcasts about it. So I suggest you check it out. Everything on newlivingletters.com is free. And it's a lot of things on there. Writings, 2 books are on there on The Cost of Freedom and The Spirit of Egypt. All you who love to study and understand facts, you want to listen to The Cost of Freedom. You want to read it and also The Spirit of Egypt. And you'll understand many things that have happened. And you'll understand sowing and reaping better. The Lord He has a lot to say. And He raised up people to carry His word. He anoints people. And if you're wise and you find an anointed man of God or a woman of God, listen to them. Take some of your precious time and listen to anointed people. And it can make a huge difference in your life. And I know I can tell you many testimonies. When I first got saved, I had good pastors, and I love good teaching. And in the 80s, I began to listen to Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland was one of them I listened to. I love him. He is a blessing. One day I was walking past the TV, and I had a lot of problems in those days. I mean, my life was just messed up. I wasn't in sin, and wasn't that. It was so many... the enemy was fighting me in all kind of ways. And Kenneth Copeland said something that made a difference. He said, no matter what you go through, he was talking about, it's not God's fault. God will not do you wrong. Now, I didn't word it exactly like he said, but I remember that last part. He said, whatever happens against you, God didn't do it. God will not do you wrong. And man, that statement made a huge impact on my life. God raises up people of integrity to be a blessing to us. And The one I was going to mention was Kenneth Hagin. I made it my business to listen to him every day at lunchtime. He used to come on the local radio station in those days. And I listened to the tape series by him. Now, I didn't have many resources in those days, and I didn't buy his books in those days. I listened to him on the radio, and I made it my business to listen to him as often as I possibly could. And it was years before I seen him on TV, but he taught the believer's authority. See, believers have authority. Now, I was taught by good pastors and friends that I knew we had authority over Satan. But when I heard his testimony about it, and it's on YouTube, everybody need to listen to it, especially now, because, see, the Lord's about to return, and things are going to start getting, Satan is excited. He's nervous. He's not excited in a good way. He's nervous. Even the Bible even say that he's, you know, woe to the inhabitants on the earth, because when Satan get kicked out of heaven, he know his time is short. He going to try all kind of stuff to mess folks up. So you need to know about your authority. Well, now what I'm about to tell you happened, folks. I lived this. I listened to the believer's authority. I borrowed it from Mr. Austin. I grew up with his sons. And Mr. Austin had a tape series. And he let me use it. And I listened to it for about 30 days. And then I had to give it back. Well, when I gave it back, the gunfight started. They started having gunfights in my neighborhood. I lived in Kingston Woodlawn area between the Holiday Inn and Stockholm. I lived on that side of 10th Avenue. So that would be a gunfight almost every other weekend, continually, for 6 years. Nobody never died because I always rebuked the devil. I told him, I would say two things. Every time I heard an argument heating up, I said, Satan, you can't kill nobody. You can't hurt anybody in Jesus' name. Now, before the gunfight started, a short time before that, I heard of a little girl getting shot because some crazy drug dealers was trying to shoot each other. But when I started taking authority, it always worked. The Lord raises up anointed people to give us information that we desperately need. Now, Kenneth Hagin is one that got raised up. And so, and others too, Kenneth Copeland and Charles Capps. I used to listen to these men. And many others, Frank Matchin, Scott Webb, I used to listen to these men on the radio. And so, sometimes people have life experiences ahead of you, okay? These are older men to me. But what I was facing, they had already dealt with that years prior. The thing about listening to anointed people, it's like getting a boost. It's like taking a shortcut, so to speak. You don't have to go through all the pain of this life yourself. Older people can show you what to watch out for. Wise parents. Teenagers, I'm gonna tell you something. If your parents love God, and they love you, if you listen to them, you won't be like the people that they get all messed up. If you got wise parents, don't think that they're outdated. That's the first thing the devil gonna tell you. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't live in my age. They don't know what I go through. They know everything you go through, and they know that the devil is busy. Don't be so fast to turn a deaf ear to your not only your parents that love God and they love you, but other people's parents that love God. And anybody that has been there and done that. If they finish college, for instance, they went through a lot of foolishness to finish. If they came out of college, had an education, or work, and they're faithful in the work field, and they still love God, they won a lot of battles, folks. Because the devil wants the smartest people to be on his side. That's why the colleges And we love to watch all these, you know, the football games from all these colleges. But these colleges are trying to desperately brainwash our children. And I know what I'm talking about. I've heard it so many ways. I've been to colleges before. Not all professors are not atheists. But there's an atheist agenda. And the devil wants the smartest people to be disconnected from the knowledge of God. But see, he can't fool everybody. There are Holy Spirit filled doctors. There are Holy Spirit filled lawyers. I know a Holy Ghost filled scientist, engineers. See, the Holy Spirit can guide us into all truth, and the world can't fool everybody. So, wise people, God will always keep people who pay attention to the Holy Spirit. God will always keep them ahead of the curve. In my life, the Lord always, he showed me what was happening. Things I didn't know about. Things in the works. He showed it to me and people thought I didn't know, but I knew. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. Newlivingletters.com. Everything is free. And these broadcasts are longer than the first 15 minutes. Now, the reason everything is stored on there because the Holy Spirit wants you to know him. Now I'm doing my job. And if you partake of the knowledge of God, you're not listening to Thurston Hamby, you're listening to Jesus. See, the Lord gives me what to say. I don't know what you need. I don't know what to say of myself. I have to wait till God give me something. But it's not about me. It's about Jesus. And if you go to the website, it's information that God used me to give and others. It's information that he wants to share with you through a yielded vessel. Don't worry about being brainwashed. I can't brainwash nobody. The anointing of God don't brainwash. The anointing of God gives you light. And you choose whether you want to receive it or not. When people are indoctrinated, it's like Charles Capp said, I just heard, and he said it years ago. I watched him on TV recently. And he's going to be with the Lord many years ago, but this was a recording. I heard him say, see, the anointing don't die. We die, but the anointing lives on. But what he said is true. The Lord told him, when people are indoctrinated, they quit thinking for themselves. I don't ask you to stop thinking. I challenge you to think. I love people who think for themselves, like the Bereans. Now, I tell you what God gave me. It's up to you to go and research it. See, Paul did that. He showed them all the things, what God did in the Old Testament and how it fits with what Jesus did and what the Holy Spirit's doing. Well, the Bereans, the people of Berea, they went and researched the word. And guess what the Lord said about them? After they listened to the apostles, they went and researched it themselves. And the word of God said that they were more noble. Now that's just a very kind and generous way of saying they had more sense. The word of God, see, I understand what the anointing can do. God gave me a dream in 86. I was in three dangers. And I woke up. I escaped all three dangers. And the Lord, and when I walked to the kitchen, I heard him say, you're anointed, you're anointed, you're anointed. That's why I escaped three terrible dangers. Now, I didn't know the fullness of what that meant. But I found out later on. Now, all the men I just mentioned, they're anointed. Now, I've listened to them and made better decisions and judgment calls than I was able to do on my own. Somebody would say, well, you're anointed. Anointed people don't know everything. And the prophet is subject to the prophet. I'm anointed. I teach. I minister. People say, it may sound like I got it going on or I got a lot of sense. But guess what? I have to seek the Lord. I just love God. I'm just a simple man that loves God. I am an auto mechanic. But God gave me this anointing to minister to people. See, the anointing is not limited. God is not limited. And if you ask him questions, I love people that want to know. I appeal to people that want to know. I love people that want to know God. Because I know what God will do. If you seek the Lord, he will give you information. Now, I've been talking about the Lord said that talking about the last warning. And the day I'm doing this broadcast, the Lord spoke to me and said, He gave me a glimpse of what it was. He said he's going to open the ears of people and the eyes of people. That you're going to start seeing what you didn't see before and hear what you didn't hear before. Now, this is to help you live now. Because his return is imminent, is sudden, is quick. People that ignore the last warning, if they don't repent, the Lord put it to me this way. He's going to leave them where they stand the day he raptures his people off earth. He said, if they don't receive this last warning, he's going to open their ears. See, sometimes people believe other things by default. The enemy seduced them before they ever had a chance to get to know who Jesus is. And then you see men of God fall. It's a lot of things happening fast. And it's the enemy uses tactics to keep people apartheid from God. You know, Satan wants to keep you in an apartheid state. He wants to keep you disconnected from Jesus. Don't let anybody disconnect you from Jesus. Don't let anybody cause you to walk away from Jesus. Don't let anybody cause you to miss out on what the Holy Ghost can give you. Don't let anybody stop you from yielding to the Holy Spirit. Don't let anybody seduce you into a false religion. Because all of those tactics are satanic. And don't try to upstage others. Don't try to be more than you are. Don't try to be better than others. And don't depend on people to look up to you. Whatever you do, you see, Paul put it this way, do nothing for vainglory. Vainglory is satanic glory. You want the glory of God on your life. You want to be anointed. In order for you to have perfect purpose, you're going to have the love of God. You're going to have to conduct yourself with the wisdom of God. And you're going to have the heart of God. You're going to have to be holy, which is pure. Now, not holiness, church, holy. I mean pure in your heart. See, the pure in the heart, those that are pure in the heart, they will see God. They're going to understand what others can't. You're going to have those three things intact. Love, wisdom, and holiness. Love, holiness, and wisdom. Or love, purity, and holy. You got that innocence. You got to be sincere. Jesus, I'm looking for people that worship me in spirit and in truth. The Father looks for those to worship him, to be in league with him, to be in union with him, to be in covenant with him. He's looking for people that worship him, to worship him in spirit and in truth. So you got to have love. You got to be holy, which is pure. And you got to be wise. And those three things, they protect each other. If you try to be wise without love, you're going to end up foolish. If you try to have love without wisdom, you're going to mess up. You're not going to have balance. Because if you're going to have love, you got to have wisdom and you got to have holiness. See, love is liberal. It'll try to help everybody without wisdom. But wisdom says, no, you got to have my limitations. And then holiness say, you got to do what's right by God. See, you can have compassion on people and give somebody something that don't belong to you. That's not holy. You got to stay within the confines of the Word of God. So, It's time now for people to wake up. God has to judge us if we disconnect ourselves from Jesus. If we cross the line, he's got to be your judge. He want to be your savior. He wants you to judge yourself. See, Jesus didn't tell us to bear branches. He said bear fruit. What it means to bear fruit, live in the likeness and honor of God. Live according to God's word. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, temperance. I can't name them all, but they're the attributes of love. And when you live according to God's word, you're giving people light. You're giving people example. And it's up to them whether they receive it or not. When you preach the word, you're preaching what God has to say. And people that want to know what God has to say, they will listen. They won't have a problem with listening. They want to know. And they become students. And then they partake of the life of God. They believe on Jesus Christ. And then God can move in their lives. And he wants to. He wants everybody to know what he can do. And I know what he'll do. If you humble yourself, he's gonna work with you. But see, the last warning is here. Sometimes a message will be a person's last chance. Now, the Lord talked, when he talked to me about the last warning, I've been wanting to know all about the last warning ever since he said it, but I can only give what he allowed me to give. His return is so close, folks. It's time now to share the word of God with everybody you know. But don't do it in your strength, do it in his strength. Let the Lord guide you in how to do it. If you want everybody you know to go to heaven, ask the Lord, how do I do this? How can I help everybody I know, the people in my life? Well, first of all, start by loving them. If you want to minister to somebody, love that person. Because the word of God is sown in peace. Sorry about that. Don't let anything stop you. But do what's right. Do what God gives you to do. When I asked Elder Lewis, how does God talk to you? Now, he was my pastor years ago. My pastor now is Jim McCann IV. But back in those days, I said, how does God talk to you? This was back in the 80s. He said, primarily through the word. And then through ministry, people preaching. And then your own spirit. He'll speak to you in your spirit. And he'll speak through you through others. And he'll give you dreams or visions. See, he can tell you something. He made you. He know how to talk to you. And you'll know it's him because the wisdom will be so beautiful. It'll be something far beyond your capability to come up with on your own. I love it when the Lord teach me. It's so pure. Now, see, James put it this way. He put it this way. The wisdom of God is first pure, peaceable, easy to be entreated. See, the Lord loves us, his people. And he has so much to say to us. And he said the word of God is sown in peace. Now, on this broadcast, the Lord put in my heart Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Now, listen to the wisdom here. Ecclesiastes is a book written by Solomon, as I understand it. And I believe he wrote this after he came back from his worldly foolishness. See, he married those foreign wives. They turned his heart. And I believe that, this is just my opinion, I'm sharing what I believe. When he came back to the Lord, he talked about he returned in chapter 4. This is like everyday life disconnected from God. Okay? And this is what he noticed. All right, verse 1. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 1. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary, which is a pharmacy, to send forth a stinking savour. So doeth a little folly in him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. when a wise man fall, or a preacher or somebody that's well known fall, it discourages people from the heart level. Okay, verse 2. A wise man's heart is in his right hand, but a fool's heart is in his left. Think, consider this now. Verse 3. When you have good intentions, when you're wise, you're established, you're ready to build your life. But when you're foolish, you can't build your life. It's hard to work with your left hand if you're, most people are right hand. That's why he put it that way. Verse 3. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom fails him. And he says to everyone, that he is a fool. See, a foolish person always makes people know what he is. Because he can't contain, you can't pretend to be wise, folks. But the Holy Spirit can cause you to learn wisdom and be appropriate. Verse 4, if the spirit of a ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifies great offenses. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an arrow which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. Now these are the inadequacies that he's seen. He said, verse 7, I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. Some people, they may be considered worthless, poor, whatever, but in their heart, they have the heart of a prince, a very honorable, noble, and wise person. You can't go by possessions anymore. Verse 8, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. It's not good to go around setting people up, because you're going to fall into the, just like you dug a ditch for somebody, you're going to fall in one. The sword, he that live by the sword will die by the sword. Verse 9, whoso remove a stone shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered by it thereby. See, they're setting traps is what they're doing in verse 9. You remove a stone, you're the one going to get hurt. You made a loose stone so somebody else could fall. You're going to be hurt too if you cause somebody else to be hurt. If you make a jagged edge on wood so somebody can get hurt, you're going to be in danger too. Verse 10, if the iron be blunt and he do not sharpen the edge, then must he put more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Consider these things. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them. The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city. Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning. The princes are gluttonous. They're selfish. They don't fast. They don't pray. They don't seek the Lord. They want to be pampered. Verse 17, blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. Verse 18, by much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. A feast is made for laughter, and a wine makes merry, but money answers all things. Curse not the king, know not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which has wings shall tell the matter. In other words, all of this is written about how to govern your life with the wisdom of God, because the Lord loves us. And this is a day you got to be wise. Don't choose to be foolish. Choose to be wise. Ask God to help you. And he'll give you insight, wisdom, and protection. See, you can't do what people used to do anymore. Satan is desperate. He wants to get people off track. He wants to cause people to lose